I'm Rose Skeeters, host of From Borderline to Beautiful, a show about hope and recovery for BPD. Hello and welcome to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. This is your host, Rose Skeeters, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about self-soothing addictions and how they may play a role in recovery. So this morning someone sent me a video that hit home, and it said that children who are traumatized develop ways to self-soothe, and in those ways to self-soothe, usually you'd find an addiction, because maybe they spend their life trying to prove who they are and prove that they're worthy and prove that they're loved because they didn't receive that love when they were younger. And it was very powerful because I thought, gosh, I wonder how many people out there self-soothe, and they do it in ways that they don't realize that they've trained themselves or soothing, but yet they're not beneficial anymore to themselves. And you know, what I mean by that is when you're soothing yourself because you've been traumatized, you could be doing things like thinking about all of the negative things that could happen to you. You could be obsessing that someone might leave you. You could soothe yourself by feeling like you can control the world around you. Now, those things don't seem to be soothing, right? I think when we think of self-soothing through the psychological lens, we think of baths and, you know, yoga and smoothies and very calming activities, you know. But the reality is that children that are traumatized often, you know, develop unhealthy addictions as a form of self-soothing. So eating disorders can be thought of in this way. Think of binge eating disorder. There's something soothing about having that fullness, right? And it's not necessarily soothing in a positive, healthy way. It's in a negative way. Or if there are times where, you know, you don't want to regulate your emotions and you find that using DBT skills seems to be more work than what it's worth. And you find that the TIP skill, you know, you convince yourself and you try to rationalize and believe that those skills aren't going to work for you because you're different and there's something broken inside of you. Those are all self-soothing. It's actually soothing to someone who has been traumatized, who only knows sensitivity and pain, to bunker down and kind of roll themselves into a ball and say, I'm broken, nothing can help me. That's soothing, because if nothing can help you, well, then you have control over that one little part of your world. And I know that if you've done this before, that this will make perfect sense to you. There are other things I'm sure that you do to soothe. I can list several things that maybe folks out there might do, but what I would encourage you to do is try to figure out what things do you do to soothe yourself that come from or come out of the result of being traumatized as a child. And if you say, well, I wasn't traumatized as a child, you can think, if you're a sensitive person in a hyperbolic temperament, you have thin skin and things really seem to impact you the way they don't impact other people, that could have caused you to experience a trauma-like reaction where you perceive yourself to be so different because the world is overwhelming to you, right? So you can look at it that way and give yourself some grace, because if you do these negative soothing behaviors, what I want you to do is go on a journey to figure out how you can shift the negative soothing behaviors and create some positive self-soothing moments in your day that don't break relationships, weigh you down, cause more chaos in your life. So some things that people do to soothe in this negative way would be to cut themselves or hurt themselves, binge eat, right? Maybe they will take work calls or work events during times where they should be connecting with their family or their loved ones, or maybe they'll be cleaning or doing a different activity when their child comes home from school, even if they had all day to do that. That's a soothing way. Or maybe they want to sit and focus in their feelings and be there and obsess or try to control whether or not things in their life will change by feeling that negativity. Maybe it's not wanting to be to use a regulation skill, or it's not wanting to leave the hospital, or it's not wanting to admit that you have good moments in your day. Maybe these are all things that are soothing. Maybe it's scrolling on your phone, or drugs, or alcohol, or smoking too much weed. Maybe it's, you know, listening to self-help book after self-help book after self-help book and giving advice, but not actually slowing yourself down and doing the actions yourself. All of those things can be soothing. Things where you have this victim kind of mentality or mindset, they can be soothing because it's comfortable. It's where you're used to being. It's where you've maybe always been. So I used to do some of these very things to soothe. And what I've come to know about myself is I still like to soothe myself. However, I have learned to soothe myself in a very different way, in a positive way, and in a way, like I had said, that doesn't break down relationships myself and hurt me or anyone around me. And before, I think I told you in earlier episodes that I love the sunshine. On a warm day, I would call out of work. Okay, that's an example of self-soothing in a bad way. We still have to have responsibilities while we soothe. We can't. I had to shift my focus to focus instead of entirely on soothing, spending most of my day, if not all day, on doing things to soothe, even though back then I would have said, wait a second, I'm in emotional pain. I'm not soothing myself. But it was super soothing to not live in the moment, to live in my feelings, to live from one feeling to the next, because I had learned that that was a way I can control myself. I can control my environment. I could count myself, you know, as worthy. I spent my whole life trying to prove that I was worthy of love. It heartbreaking. And so I would soothe in that way. But going outside and standing on my porch after a day of sessions and enjoying the sunshine before I connect with my family or while I'm connecting with my family is one way that I've learned to turn negative self-soothing, calling out of work because the sun's shining, feeling like that I deserve that, being prideful in that, versus going outside and soaking in the rays of the sun and saying, thank you God for this sun. This is beautiful. It feels so good. I'm grateful. I love movement. Movement is soothing to me. Not necessarily physical exercise, but movement. Walking. Walking about my house, doing chores, just being able to move my body, I've learned is very soothing to me. Music, as I've talked to you all about before, music is soothing for me. Music could also have been a negative soothing thing, especially for someone like me, because I love music so much that I learn to listen to the same song on repeat over and over and over again. My brain will latch on to details of songs and phrases, certain refrains, the way the person's voice and intonation exists in the song with the melody. And it would really become this overwhelming impulse. So I spent, you know, most of my eighth grade summer going into seventh grade, going into eighth grade, going into high school, just rollerblading around this block, listening to the same song over and over and over again. It was different songs at times, so I would go through these phases where I would latch onto one song and then it would be the next and the next. And that's very soothing, but as you can see, it's almost like pressing pause on life and spending the entire afternoon just soothing. Not learning any skills, not actually getting better at anything, not actually learning to regulate my emotions, but just kind of on this literal loop. And it just felt so good. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to go in for dinner. I didn't want to take off my skates. I wanted more skates, more music, more batteries for my Walkman, right? Back then, that's like when you have a CD and you have to like put it into the device and somehow not make the CD skip when you're rollerblading around the block. That's funny. I didn't think I was that old, but apparently so, guys. Apparently so. iPods came shortly after that, I will say. But anyway, it was super soothing. now what I do with music is I still have that same inclination because I'm still the same person. I don't want your titles and I don't want your labels. I am Rose. I have purpose. I have, you know, I'm loved, I'm worthy, and I like to latch on to certain phrases and songs and listen to them over and over again. And I still do that. And that's soothing to me. I can do that while I'm walking. I can do that while I'm spending time with my dogs. And I can turn that music off because I know that self-soothing has a place, but it isn't the place to be all the time. That the present moment is much more beautiful than in my head or in my song. Dancing can also be a form of self-soothing, so can rocking. But I want to use my ability to soothe myself, not as my main actions and deeds in life, to go from one soothing moment to another, and sometimes negative soothing, but I want to use them strategically to help pace myself with the rhythm of life, to be able to fill my tank, to nurture myself so that I can give to others. Right? It's no secret at this point that I follow Jesus and that I have become a Christian over the last 5 years. You know, it's something that I do talk about. And one of the things that I will do is when I'm listening to music is I use that as my time to thank God for the blessings in my life. And it is this life that I currently have that's led me to believe to begin with. And so it's very important to me to do that. So it starts with self-soothing, but it ends in this humble, you know, gratitude towards this God who is so amazing that I was able to overcome deep, dark, painful emotions. I just don't have them. And it is, you know, a beautiful thing. And so that's something that I personally do to self-soothe, and I want to be genuine. And so I want to encourage you. You can have moments in your day that are placed strategically to soothe yourself without making your central focus around soothing. And so I want you to start determining what are the things that I can do to soothe myself that don't break down relationships, that don't break down myself. And what are the things that I'm doing that do break down relationships that are soothing to me that I might not be willing to let go of, but I at least need to draw into my conscious awareness so I can flip the script and begin to soothe and nurture myself naturally. That didn't come naturally to me. Giving and receiving love was something that I had to learn, and it was a very difficult process to learn it. Love to me was like, kind of an engine in a car, start and stop and start and stop, give and take, push and pull. I love you, I hate you, I value, I devalue you. I didn't understand the concept of steady, consistent, unfailing, constant love with unfailing grace. And now I do. I don't always execute it well. I will not say that. That would be false. But I do the best I can to follow in the footsteps of people who do it well, to do it well too. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I encourage you, you can love stable and steady and consistent and calm. You can nurture yourself. And these little tidbits on these Tuesday truths are, you know, when you're gathering opinions and perspectives and tips and strategies from other people, from your therapist, from a book that you've read, from a TikTok video, from an Instagram video, like all of these things, look at them as having value. I'm laughing a little bit, but there's value to people out there who are creating these videos saying things like, because you were a child that was traumatized, you likely soothe yourself, and that soothing likely becomes an addiction because it's the only way you were able to make yourself feel loved and worthy. And when it comes to relationships, you're connecting with other people, or you're not able to connect with other people because you're just trying to get them to show you, to tell you that you're worthy. That's a valuable video. And so I want you to take any of these situations that you're in and be open-minded and be curious. Try to find something that someone is saying that you can take with you and you can use, and try it on for size. See if it works for you. Right? So look at self-soothing and ask yourself, how do I self-soothe and how can I do it a little bit better? That is your work for the week. All right, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week for another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. Are you tired of feeling frustrated, resentful, or disconnected from your family, friends, and partner? Thrive MindBody LLC Mindset Coaching and Counseling can help you. Visit us on the web at thriveonlinecounseling.com. Again, that's thriveonlinecounseling.com.